Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of your one-hour inspirational program. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a very good show planned for you tonight, and as soon as our co-hosts go ahead and start to log in, we will get started with our program. We're so thankful that all of you all have taken time out of your schedules to join us tonight, as we certainly look forward to bringing you our weekly programming. And so at this time, we're going to go ahead and ask for God to join us in tonight's broadcast. Father in heaven, we thank you for the multitude of blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We certainly do thank you for everything that you've done for us and that you continue to do for us. We pray, O Lord, that our programming tonight will benefit someone spiritually, mentally, socially, and otherwise, and emotionally. We pray that you will be with us and help us to take more from the program than we brought to it. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. All right, let me go ahead and bring in my co-host this evening, and I want to go ahead and thank them so very much for being a part of tonight's program. We're going to begin with Ms. Teresa. Ms. Teresa, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure and honor to always have you on the show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Happy Sabbath to everyone.
All right. And we're going to also go ahead and bring in B. Marie. B. Marie, I believe we've got B. Marie on the line tonight. B. Marie, it's a pleasure to have you as well. All right. Perhaps B. Marie is having some technical difficulties. Let's bring in Lady Lynn. Lady Lynn, it's an honor and pleasure to have you with us this evening. Welcome to the
Good evening, Dr. Walker, and happy Sabbath to everyone.
Thank you.
Forward to the show tonight.
All right, excellent, excellent. Tonight's topic is, as we bring this one up, could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? Could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? Ms. Therese, I want to start with you. Do you think that being obedient to God's laws would enrich our lifestyle? But before you answer that particular question, let me ask you, what are God's laws? Is it more than just the Ten Commandments? Because when you talk with the Jewish faith, my understanding is they have 613 commandments. So when we talk about God's laws, what are we actually talking about, Ms. Teresa?
His Ten Commandment laws. I do understand, and rightly so, that you said the Jewish people have, and that's the key word, they have. But we're talking about God, whose laws go above and stand above anything anybody else has. The first six laws is his duty to man, to God, and the second half of the Ten Commandments are duty to man. So his laws are supreme.
Okay. Let me move over to Lady Lynn, let me ask you the same question along the same lines. What is, how do you interpret that? God's laws, how many does he have?
God's laws are the Ten Commandments that he wrote with his own finger. And they encompass all those other 600 some odd laws within them. As Ms. Teresa rightly said, the first four are our duty to God, the last six are our duty to man. All those 600 and some odd plus speak to our duty to God or our duty to man.
Okay, all right. But, I mean, when we think about it, some of us, you know, struggle with Ten Commandments. I mean, I can't even imagine 600 and some odd commandments. How do you interpret that, Lady Lynn?
It's just how there's laws of the land. There's countless numbers of laws on the books that we have to, you know, stop at a red light, stop at a stop sign, you know, don't jaywalk. I mean, there's plenty of laws on the books, and you learn them as you go along. That's kind of how those Jewish laws were. If somebody's animal falls in a ditch, help them. If, you know, if somebody kills somebody, they get stoned. Like, their laws encompass a whole array of human interaction, but they all fall under the Ten Commandments.
I see. All right, so if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is, could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? So, Ms. Teresa, let's start with that one now. Let's respond to that one. Could the obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? And if so, how?
Yes, absolutely. We can even start with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and he says, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. And then you go to Exodus 26:15. If thou would hearken unto the voice of the Lord, do what's right in his sight, keep all his commandments. I won't put the diseases I put on the Egyptians. That one in particular I have lived by through this COVID period, because he says he won't put those diseases on you. And so our lives are enriched, because based on what Sister Lynn said, if the law is like a school teacher for us. So if we bump into the laws, then of course in our own humanness, oh, we can't keep all these. But through the power and grace and righteousness and taking on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can keep those laws. And it completely enhances our lives. For instance,
all right, so
the
let
health.
Me ask you this. So would you say then that, let's just say, for example, you say he won't put these diseases on us, and certainly I read to that and I subscribe to that as well. But what about our people who have also died from COVID that did get this on them? How do you respond to a family who says they prayed that no weapons formed against me would prosper, and yet their loved one died?
God is an ultimate healer. And sometimes the power of his healing is not always to keep someone alive. God knows the beginning from the end for all of us. And sometimes that healing may come to that person going to sleep so they won't have to suffer. But
Okay. Regardless
of that, we all have to die at some point. But I do understand where you're coming from in terms of this COVID. I wouldn't have an answer as to why certain people get it. But I know that one thing's for certain in Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, it talks about to everything in life there's a season to live, a season, a time to die, a time to laugh, a time to cry.
Right. Okay, so Lady Lynn, let me ask you. I mean, recently, a mother of four, she refused to get vaccine, and, I mean, we're not placing emphasis on whether a person gets vaccinated or not. Certainly that's an individual call, but she was opposed to getting vaccines, and, you know, she had the symptoms, and her kids saw her getting sick, and they encouraged her. They're like, Mom, please go to the doctor. They begged her to go to the doctor, and she insisted that God would take care of her. He would heal her, and she kept rebuking it. And within a week, she was dead. What could you possibly say to those four children? They're adult children. The youngest one is 25. But what could you say to them when they were pleading with their mom to go to the doctor because she showed these signs? Lady Lynn, what could you possibly say to her?
Our ways are not God's ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And sometimes certain things happen to us. I'm just saying this factually, not or as far as my opinion goes, in answer to your question, this is not necessarily what I would say to these kids. So let me say this part first. Sometimes
okay.
we do things to our bodies, like we, you know, abuse our bodies for years with sugar, with fats, with alcohol, with tobacco, with whatever. And then when we come to a health crisis, we expect God to just perform a miracle and save us. And that's not how God works. God says you reap what you sow. So if you abuse, you can't turn around one day and decide, oh, Lord, heal me, because you can. Yeah, he can, but will he? Not necessarily. So back to what I would tell the kids, our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. So if God chose to allow her to be put to rest, there are different factors as to why he allowed that. If she was sick and didn't seek medical attention, that could have very well factored into why she didn't survive. Because God has given us, you know, knowledge and understanding through physicians to be able to help us in health situations. The vaccines, of course, that's a personal choice, and studies have shown they don't save your life necessarily or keep you alive. Taking the vaccine would not have saved her life per se, but her not seeking medical attention or not doing anything other than crying out to God, she could have done an array of, you know, home remedies to try to mitigate her circumstance. So I would
yeah,
just
but we
say,
don't
you know,
know if every, it her life though. We don't know that though, right? We don't
Did
know
that
it
again?
Could have. Right?
Oh, we do
because,
know that it could have. I mean, just like if, whether or not she took the vaccine could have. We don't know. We don't know her whole situation, but that could have, had she tried that, she might have had a fighting chance.
Okay, so are you saying then, and I want to go back to something, and we're going to bring Sir Benny in just a moment. Are you saying that our leading up to a person's death over the years may be a result of their abusing their bodies?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. We have direct control over how our health shakes out when it's all said and done. I mean, you know, there are other ways. Obviously, we could die. Somebody could be perfectly healthy, did all the right things, and get hit by a truck. So I'm not saying that. But as far as your health goes, your quality of life, your, you know, ability to, you know, breathe, you know, freely or exercise or move or whatever. Yeah, as you age, as you go through life, if you've abused your body throughout your life, don't expect your lungs to be at their peak performance in your 50s, 60s, and 70s. It's not going to be that. What you reap is what you sow. If you damage your body and abuse your body, yes, you will reap those results, unfortunately. That's why God says, this is my temple. Take care of it. If you don't, look, the results are up to you. He gives you free will. So if you decide, no, I'm going to smoke from the time I'm 15 to the time I'm 80, your lungs are going to be looking crazy. Like, you can't do your body any kind of way and expect it to produce or perform, rather.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go now and bring in Sir Ben. Sir Ben, it's always a pleasure. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, good evening, and happy, fervent, fantastic Friday. It's good to be on the show, everybody.
All right. We are so grateful to have you tonight. Let me ask you, for those of you all who are just joining us, could obedience to God's laws enrich our lifestyle? Sir Ben, I've got you on here. So would you say obeying God enriches our lifestyle? What about maybe people around the world, like in Africa, who are dying daily of starvation, and now we've got another variant that's supposedly coming from there? What about the ones who are Christians that feel that they are relying on God? They're obeying. You know, what is happening to perhaps their lifestyle?
Well, we're all creatures of God. He made all of us, no matter how we think about it, look at it, reject it, accept it. He made all of us. And there's things that he allows to happen that we may not understand, but it's his will and not our will. And so he has given us, as Lady Lynn said earlier, our rules to live by for those of us who know and understand the word. And it is a choice like any other thing in our lives. Everything in our lives is about a choice because we have free will. Now, as far as the people in other countries that are going through different things and starvation and poverty, You know, that has been a part of the existence of life from early on. There's always been that. And so God still has favor on those people. We're all going to be with some kind of affliction through our lives. Some of us can go through affliction a lot greater than others, and some of us are just going to have several major afflictions. These are all things to just test our true resolve and how much we trust God. If we trust God with the same resolve as we feel about some other things in our personal life that we trust, our jobs, our financial security, our loved ones, if we trust him with a greater love, then there's greater abundance of light that he will show favor on us with.
All right. So, okay, excellent. You're listening to your one-hour inspirational program. We certainly do appreciate you taking time out to join us this evening. If you want to chime in, press 1 on your dial. We would love to hear your commentary tonight on tonight's program because, I mean, in my interview with countless numbers of people throughout the day, throughout the weeks, people are finding themselves being a lot more discouraged. They're lashing out. They don't seem to have the patience. So things that we say on this broadcast could very well help somebody in their life to be encouraged or inspired. So we're certainly hoping that if you have something that you want to inspire, encourage someone tonight, then by all means, because it's, you know, I come across people from all walks of life, and it is often difficult sometimes when people don't even know where their next meal is coming from. And then we look at the atrocities that are taking place around the world, and people are praying and they're hoping. And I talked to a minister just yesterday in his 80s, and he seemed that his faith was becoming questionable now because of what's happening to, you know, around the world. And so I was trying to encourage him, and I realized that we all need to be encouraged. You know, and sometimes it's very difficult. It's very difficult because I've been there. So, Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in and I want to ask you this question here. So when we talk about enriching our lives, what does that mean to you, to enrich your life or your lifestyle?
That God's favor will be on every aspect of my life, whether it's my spiritual life, my, you know, my familial life with my family, whether it's emotionally, whether it's financially, in every aspect of my life, God's favor will reign on my life.
Okay, so when we talk about God's favor, when God, and we've heard that God does not is not a respecter of persons. So, Lady Lynn, let me ask you, why would God favor you in terms of every aspect of your life? And the people who are starving in Africa who also pray and say, well, maybe God has turned his back on me. What hope could we give people in that situation? What could we give them?
Like Sir Ben said, poverty, starvation has been a part of our existence from very early on. Jesus said himself the poor would always be with us. There's a responsibility to those who have to help those who have not or who have less. Those people seem to us, of course, on this side of the globe to have nothing. However, the fact that they are still surviving, the fact that they are haven't died, I mean, there's some who have died, I'm sure, but the ones who are living day to day, who still manage to survive, who are still either getting help from others or aid or somehow, some way, God is providing for them. Their experience, their life experience is different from what ours is, but the fact that God is sustaining them doesn't change who God is, you know what I mean? And right. The hope we could give them is the fact that we can be involved in charitable giving to be able to help, you know, do what we can to help ease their ailments.
Okay. You know, Ms. Therese, I want to bring you in, and then, Sir Ben, we're going to get to you in a moment. If you all want to chime in, press 1. Every time I sit down, whether it's at a restaurant, whether it's at my own dinner table, But the meals that I have are quite well prepared oftentimes. And every time I sit down and I think about the people that don't have a meal anywhere close to the type of meal that I'm having. And it troubles my spirit. It really troubles my spirit, Ms. Teresa, because it's like, you know, what about those people that don't have these options? If I don't want, a certain type of bread today, I have an option. I have a choice. I can have another type of bread. If I don't want a certain starch or a vegetable or a fruit, I can choose to have something else. But what about the people that don't have these choices? So, Ms. Teresa, my question becomes, it's like that. This is why I do these shows, because to remind us all that it's about God's world, and I believe that we have a calling. I believe personally, this is just me now, that we have a calling to help those people, whether it's locally or around the world, to help people somehow better enrich their own lifestyle. What are your thoughts on that, Ms. Teresa?
Sure. I wanted to reflect on this one thing that I was thinking about when you were saying about the poor. It's a heavy burden for a lot of us. However, I'm reminded of when Jesus was being anointed with the oil. The lady was washing his feet with her hair, and it was a very expensive ointment. And then the disciples said, "Well, Father, we could sell this for so much amount of money." And Jesus said, "The poor will always be with us." And then there was another incident when the guy's father had died. And he said, "Well, I want to go bury my father." And Jesus said again, let the dead bury the dead. And that wasn't being harsh, but what it was saying is that seek ye first the kingdom of God, even though of the household of faith that want to help so many people. So what we have to be mindful of is as much as my heart, that even today, Dr. Walker, I was at the gas station. There was a guy just sitting outside with several grocery bags, big old plastic bags. I had just bought my favorite skinny popcorn, two bags of it. And I walked in to get mine, and I smiled at him as I walked in. And then I went and got the gas and came back out. Before I got out, another guy said to me, "What are we going to do about this guy?" This guy was buying a ton of beer, but he had a missionary heart. He had some brand new Panda food in his car. He said, "Guess what? I'll just go ahead and give him the food." I said, "I'll give him a snack. I'll give him some popcorn," but I also gave him a step to Christ. So our great commission is to go ye into all the world to teach, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things. So with that being said, hurting and laboring over the souls that are destitute and poor, and most of us are one step, one paycheck from that, we have to stay focused that our great commission is to seek God's kingdom first, and everything that we desire will be added to us. So I believe if we do that, God will put things in our path or people in our path. If it's missionary work that we need to do, he will open that door, and sometimes he'll drop it right in your lap. So I'm just saying those words that Jesus said, the poor will always be with us. The let the dead bury the dead may have sounded harsh, but it's what he's saying. Come to me. I want you. I want your heart.
Yeah, but
that's what Jesus was saying.
I thank you for that. We're going to bring in Lady C in just a moment. We're going to ask her to stand by, but I do want to say this here. I think sometimes, this is just me now, this is just my humble opinion. I think sometimes mm-hmm. we miss the picture because we look at what scriptures say, we interpret it in our own way, or someone has interpreted it for us, that we have adapted or accepted that interpretation. And I think that the greater, this is just me again, the picture that I see is, you know, how can I have such a wonderful meal and not even consider or think about, you know, trying to reach out and say, I got to help somebody else to have a better meal? Because, you know, yes, Jesus did say the poor you will always have with you. But, you know, I think about, you know, what will God say to me one day? you know, I was hungry, you fed me not. I was in prison, you visited me not. And I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. Those things. And I say, you know, if you can help, and I believe living in America, I can't speak about other countries, but even the poorest are poor, it seems. If you can get government assistance, there's a lot of countries you can't even get government assistance. And so it's like, okay, we have a wonderful Thanksgiving, right? And so what we want to do is we want to highlight Thanksgiving, and all of a sudden we get into the spirit of wanting to help people. Everybody's trying to do it. Then we come to Christmas. Everybody's spirit is encompassed around, let's help the world, let's save the world. But after that, it's like the world still has to eat. So we're going to ask you to stand by just a moment. Lady C, welcome. Thank you for your patience. It's good to have you always on the air.
It's good to be here. I am excited to see what you guys are talking about right now, so I'm ready to hear more.
Okay, excellent, and please stand by. You know, Sir Ben, I want to bring you in. I mean, it's like, I mean, when we have that food and we can even go to the gym and work out, we got so many choices, and people are dying. The poor are dying. Their health care is not up to par where some of us who are working, and I heard what Mr. Reese said, that many of us are a paycheck away from being, you know, maybe homeless or out there on the street as well. But if we're, and I heard also that says, well, the fact that these people are still surviving, but it's a struggle to survive. If you look in the eyes, and I just left Mexico about a month ago, and I can look into the eyes of a mother or a grandmother who's out there on the street begging, and then you got three-year-old kids coming up, you know, pulling my legs, begging for money. So, Sir Ben, how do you, you know, and I mean, wherever I could, I gave. But when you can look in their eyes and say, wow, these people really need help. This is 2021, and we still got poverty. And I know what Jesus said. But what about our part, Sir Ben? What about our part?
Well, there's two things I want to first touch on. I want to make sure that we are operating in obedience to what God has given us. And remember, God has given each and every one of different gifts and different things that we can use to grow ourselves and to help others. There's something I would highly, highly encourage you to be very careful of. Whenever we get something to eat, no matter what it is, no matter how big, how small, how expensive, how cheap, the first thing we do is we give thanks for that which we have. And that's for everybody. Second of all, God didn't design us to save the world. He did that when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. His blood covered everybody from the beginning to the end. So God's mercy and grace is covering all of us. And then I wanted to say, a lot of times, like your pastor friend who's 80, he was becoming, you know, he was losing all the things that he has had all these years of his life, all his teachings and all the things he's done. He's become weary. And the word tells us, do not grow weary in our last days. And so, yes, these things are going to be upon us. Yes, we're going to have all kinds of things happening. And as we move forward in our days, they're going to get faster and greater and even worse. But we have to stand strong because we are more than conquerors. And we have to remember something so, so important, that he has already said that if you obey me and call my name, you have the birthright to heaven. This is not our home. This is just a place that we are temporarily here for. Heaven is our final destination until the rebirth. So, yes, I think you should be able to enjoy some of the things of life you have. Yes, I think you should be able to have a meal, and I think you should be able to eat that meal in peace because God has allowed you the opportunity to have that meal, no matter how you may think of it. But yes, you're supposed to operate in obedience, and obedience says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, and I didn't give you a spirit of worrying. So we should not worry about things. We should trust that God is going to handle everything because his world is greater than anything and any task. And anything that we can do, his power and his grace and mercy is greater than any one person we could touch. because he touches everybody.
All right, Sir Ben. Okay, so let me bring Lady C, let me ask you a question. How do you tell a mother with four children who has no idea where her next meal is coming from, and she has prayed? How do you inspire her to keep trusting in God? How do you do that? And Lady Lynn, we're going to ask you the same question. But Lady C, how do you, the poor you always have with you, how do you inspire that woman? How do you encourage her?
Well, to me, I don't know. Only thing I could do is what I know I would do. The one thing I would do is, for one, if I didn't have money, if she was someone I know, if I didn't have money to see her, I'll probably go to a family member. I'm going to make sure she gets a meal. That's one thing I'm going to do for her children. I'm probably going to go out, and if I have the money, I'm probably going to go grocery shopping for her.
Okay, so
I'm gonna show her that there's hope, help out here, you know.
All right, so
and after I do
this
that,
Go ahead.
And after I do that, I'm gonna direct her to some type of program that is gonna help her get the food she needs for her and her children. So therefore, she won't have to go hungry.
Wow. So if that's someone you know. What about someone that you don't know, a stranger?
If there's someone I don't know, like there's been times I would see people, you know, in Walmart neighborhood market where their credit card was their card would decline, and it's just like $20, $45. I will offer to pay for it, you know. If I got the $45, I could pay for it, you know.
Okay.
Because whatever you give someone, it's gonna be blessed. It's gonna be given back to you. I'm finished, darling. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking too. Lady Lynn, I want to bring you in and say, now when it comes to enriching our lives, you know, what do you say to that mother with the four children? And she said, I've been praying for 10 years, and I'm just barely making it. My husband left me, you know, with our four children, and I have just been praying for years, and it seems like we just can't get past this hurdle, this struggle. He says, I've been obedient to God's will. What, you know, first of all, I mean, are we saying that because choices that lady made, thinking that she did the right thing, get married, have children, and then her husband leaves her for another woman, and she's praying and being obedient. You know, what do you tell her when she's discouraged now? Because her life doesn't seem to be enriched when she's doing the right thing.
What she might be thinking as enriched might not be what God has for her, number one. And number two, the fact that she is coming to me and I'm able to help is God's way of stepping in and answering that prayer. So for us to assume that God's not answering or God doesn't hear her is not a correct assumption. But and sometimes again, our lot in life is according to what it's to serve God's purpose. So if her lot in life is to struggle financially, there's a reason for it. There's God's glory is going to be made out of it, especially if she's being faithful and she's being obedient to God. He's not letting her starve because he said, I've never seen my the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg for bread. So she's not starving. But if she's struggling, there's something to come out of that. There's somebody who's going to be blessed from that. There's some glory that's going to come out of that. We live in a sinful world, so of course there's always going to be sin. There's always going to be, poverty and these types of things. But God has a way of working within those situations. Somebody from the outside looking in might say, oh, my goodness, she's so down in her luck. I can't believe that all these years and she hasn't been able to get a leg up. Her children have not starved. They have a roof over their head. They have clothes on their back. They have food. They might not have what you have, but they have. So her reason for her struggle is between her and God and the reason as to why he is allowing her to struggle. But he's not forsaking her. So we can't look into her situation and assume that God has an answer. He might not have answered in the way we think he should, or she even thinks he should, but he has not forsaken her. And the fact that he lets her come into our paths as Christians, our paths as people who have more and can do more, that's where we're to step in and help out and do our part.
Okay, all right. Mr. Rich, I want to bring you in and ask you, what about we get to the point where we, is it possible that we as so-called Christians judge other people because we say, well, look, that lady was, last week she was asking for a donation, and here she is again this week asking for another donation. You know, is it that our call, or should we continuously give to that same person who's asking? Because they got to eat every day.
We would have to be prayerful, move forward with prayer. We would have to ask God. Also, I just wanted to say what Lynn was saying about, Lady C was saying, I would do the same thing. I would go out and buy the food or buy that person a meal. And you say, what do you tell a person in that situation? You don't tell them anything. You just give them the food, and then you give them a resource how to get more food. So you give them the food, then you teach them how to fish, because if you teach them how to fish, and so they can get their own fish, and that would be the resources. Sometimes if a person comes back for more and more and more, sometimes the person may have things and just want more of it and can see how far they can go, you know, getting these things. But that's why you have to use wisdom and you have to use prayer. You have
okay.
to use wisdom.
Sir Ben,
God,
I want to bring you in here and ask you, what about the people who they're so successful out here, whether they're a celebrity, athlete, politician, whomever, and you never hear them once say, you know, I want to thank God for the blessings that he has bestowed upon me. You know, I praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. They never say anything, and they just say that my success came as a result of I worked hard, I was diligent. You know, they never seem to give God any credit. But yet, their lives are enriched, and they're not even, I'm not trying to pass judgment, but if you know these people, and it seems like, you know, they don't appear to be following God's laws. I mean, Sir Ben, how do you look at that? I mean, where's the balance?
Well, I know that they're being used by the enemy to do exactly what they're supposed to do, to give a false narrative of life. And so they can turn, convince others to want to follow the same path that they're following. And then the more and the more and the greater begin to believe the same thing. Oh, I can do it on my own. Oh, I did this. I accomplished this. And so everything becomes I. And so my deep desire is that before their life's end, that I becomes Jesus, I need you. Because if they don't realize that they need a Savior, then they're going to have to save themselves, and we know that's impossible.
But remember the rich man in the Bible that says that he did so-and-so, and what must he do? And Jesus told him to give up everything that he had to feed the poor, and he left because this man had great wealth. So that man... It appears to me now that he had his wealth from his hard work. See, my understanding is the Bible, I never saw in Scripture, and somebody helped me out here, that he promised us that here on earth that we were going to have a land flowing with milk and honey. Help me out with that, someone, if you know otherwise.
Well, let's make sure we go back a little bit. The parable in that story, that gentleman, the rich young ruler, he was a very faithful
right.
man. He was not just an ordinary man that kind of, you know, acquired a whole bunch of stuff. And there was a reason why he came to see Jesus, because he knew he had done all the things that he was supposed to do. He had followed all the rules and the wisdoms that his parents had taught him. He had been faithful in a lot of things, which is why he had a lot of things. And so his heart was misguided with the things that he had. And sometimes we all do that. That was just not about a rich young ruler. That's about all of us. Sometimes we get our heart misguided about what it is that we have. So when we talk about submit yourself to God, that means don't build up treasures here on earth. You're supposed to submit your heart to God, that you may one day have all the heavenly kingdom of riches and rulers. So he was a good guy. He was a good man. The Bible didn't ever say he was a bad person or he had malice in his heart. He just was misguided in the things that he had when Jesus told him to do stuff, which was sell all his stuff and give to the poor. That's just submission and, you know, following that which Jesus had told you. And he knew exactly who Jesus was. So there was a conflict because he knew what to do, but he chose not to do it. And that's how a lot of us live our lives.
You know, I can't speak for anybody else. Maybe I have become misguided sometimes because I'm thinking, you know, what is our purpose here? And I want to think that I'm kind of focused. What is our purpose here? If it's not to serve God and humanity, then what else is the purpose? You know, it's like God has everything. But I'm thinking our purpose is to be our brother's keeper. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, enrich. Listen, if our lives are enriched and however we define enrichment for ourselves, if that I have a job so my life is enriched, I have food every day. It may be hot dogs and potatoes, but at least I have food. So that enriches my life. But I'm thinking if we're going to look at the first four commandments as our relationship to God and the second six commandments, you know, the other six commandments, our relationship to our fellow man, then within that realm comes, what are we doing for our fellow man? We're going to ask all of you on standby. Let's bring in Ms. Joyce. Ms. Joyce, it's nice to have you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you. I do apologize for being tardy. Had some things going on earlier.
Oh, no problem at all. We're just glad that you can be here whenever you can. There's never any pressure in coming on this show. So we thank you for that, and thank you for joining us. Tonight we're talking
thank
about
you.
Enriching our lives. And I'm thinking, I want so much to have my relationship with God. And I know that I'm not perfect, but it's like God knows my heart. I was born into a sinful world where I'm thinking that it's not all my fault because the battle started in the spiritual realm out there with God and Lucifer, you know. And so now it's like I want my relationship with God, but I also want to do the other part of the sixth commandments, and that is to be there for the purpose of helping my fellow man. And so I believe that this is so important because it doesn't matter how many cars you have, how many bedrooms you have, whatever we have in terms of material possession, this is just me now, I'm not speaking for anybody else, I don't believe it's about that. It's about, I believe that day comes when God says, what did you do? What did you do when I blessed you? I allowed you to be blessed to help somebody else. So, Ms. Joyce, I want you to speak to that. You know, how can we really take what we have and make a, should we budget a certain amount or budget some of our time to give to those that are less fortunate or who are in need? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry. Are you speaking to Lady C?
No, that was for Miss Joyce.
Oh, okay.
And then Lady C, we're going to come to you. Well, we don't hear Miss Joyce now. So Lady C, let's take that on to you. What should you budget yourself to say, well, I'm going to help somebody at least once a month. I'm going to help someone. And should you budget your time to say, I'm going to do something for someone also once a month to enrich their lives?
That's something to me has to be laid on your heart to do, you know, because sometimes you never know how that your money is going to run that once a month and what's going to happen in a day when something big happens and you have to buy that big ticket item. You may not even have the money for that next upcoming month or to give that person. So you can't make some goals you just can't make, not based on monthly like that. You know?
Okay,
but,
so let me ask you.
I feel like I would say you should budget as yourself is to help someone as much as you can. So therefore, now you don't, you're not setting some a goal that's too high that you may or may not accomplish. But saying that I can help, I'm going to try to help someone as much as I can. Sometimes that can go to like one or two people. I can help one person a day and then turn around, well, early in the morning and may have $20, $40 to help somebody that evening.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Miss Joyce, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So let me ask you the question. How do you feel about that? Should we, if you're in a position, you know, to really help someone, I mean, help can also be just saying, well, I'm going to set a budget for $10 a month to just help somebody. It could be at the laundromat, and I'm going to take them a roll of quarters that are $10 roll of quarters and say, listen, I want you to be blessed today, you know, or allocate an hour of your time for community service. Should we do, you think that our purpose in life also, that's part of our purpose in life, is to help somebody in some kind of way, other than it being our job, to say, well, I drive this school bus. So, you know, my job is driving the school bus. I'm getting paid for that. And I'm telling these kids, y'all sit down and be quiet and be still. Y'all getting on my nerves. So I'm doing my job by keeping order on the bus. I mean, help me out. Help me to understand how we really helping other people when it's not necessarily our job. We're getting paid for it.
Hmm. Well, you know, the Bible does say we should be charitable. I can't look up the exact scripture right now, but I do believe that we should, and me personally, I do like to be charitable if I'm able to financially. I'm not saying I'm always able to, but there are some special charities that I do like to support occasionally when I find that I have the monetary amounts to do it. But charity can also be in other forms, like helping people or just visiting people, those that are sick or and shut in. Maybe you stop by and take them some flowers or send them a gift card or bring them a lunch or something like that. That's also charitable. So, and it's giving. So you give from your heart, and you'll always be blessed.
I appreciate that. This will be a good time. Lady Lynn, if you'll go in and let them know what we've done for the Thanksgiving. And these are not for boasting purposes, you all. Please don't misinterpret it. What she's about to present is not at all about boasting purposes. It's more about what we're trying to do with this broadcast, with this programming, to do our part in the community. And it's because of all of you all who are sponsors, and she'll tell you that, we're able to do this here. And it's not about me as the one individual. It's about us collectively who takes out a sponsorship with this program. Lady Lynn, if you would at this time be so kind.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. This is just to remind you all, first of all, thanking you all for your generosity throughout the year, the sponsors and the team members and those who gave towards our giving initiative. We gave away 26 gift cards over the Thanksgiving season. We were looking for families and individuals that were less fortunate, the type of people that we're discussing on tonight's show, as well as people who may have been struck with during this COVID situation or indifferent, are going through different hardships. So we were able to bless 26 families and or individuals this season, and we're also looking to do that for the Christmas season as well. And we'd like it to go even further throughout the year, not just in the holiday season, but throughout the year we'd like to do more giving initiatives. But for now, we were able to do the 26th, and then for December, we're looking to give 30 individuals and or families gift cards as well to be able to bless someone and make their holiday season a little more joyful, a little less stressful. And it's with your generosity, with your gifts, with your giving that we're able to do that. So, again, we thank you for everything that you've done to make it possible. And as you all give, we're able to give and enhance the communities that we reach out to.
And thank you so very much for that. And as she said, you know, it's because of you all and the generosity that you all are contributing that makes all of this possible. And did you mention the Toys for Tots? I didn't hear that.
I did not. That is a good point, though, reminder that you all should, as much as possible, if you come across Toys for Tots in your local communities, if you would just give a $10 unwrapped toy to any of your local Toys for Tots, that would go a long way. We're looking to team up with Toys for Tots as well. But that's just an encouragement for you all to do within your immediate communities to help a child have a great holiday season as well.
All right. Thank you so much for that, Lady Lynn. We're also we're going to give away 30, more than likely, 30 gift cards for Christmas. We're going to do that. And we're already starting to work on that now. Lady Lynn is in charge of that. And we're so grateful for what she's doing as our community outreach director. Now, going back to tonight's broadcast, and we're almost out of time. And, Mr. Reese, we're going to have you close us out tonight in about 7 or 8 minutes. Would you be so kind to do that for us?
Sure.
All right. So we're talking about obedience to God's laws. Will it enrich our lifestyles? You know, if I were to say, you know, I just believe when we have that relationship with God and we're in a position to help others, it comes so naturally. And listen, I have seen this. I have seen it with my own naked eyes, how God blesses people when they really are free will givers to help other people. I've seen it with my naked eyes, and it's like David said, I've been young and I'm old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. And I mean, this is really true. I mean, and I've seen that. Mr. Reese, I want to ask you, I mean, have you testified to something like that with your own naked eyes, where you've seen people who just free will give us? Because at the end of the day, at the end of a sunset, you know, when our season is here no more, when we're no longer on this earth, you can't take it with you. So, Ms. Teresa, have you witnessed that yourself?
Oh, absolutely. The Bible says, and I think that's what Sister Joyce was referencing, it says freely give, freely receive. And I've seen situations, and I've actually, the Lord has touched my heart on occasion to just give without reservation. And I'm not a rich person. But you give freely, you will receive. And also, I'd like to bring out a faithful tithe is also a tool in which people are helped. If you had a church that has a poor fund, a portion of your tithe goes to that fund. So when people, like we said earlier in a couple of months ago, some people are too proud or too ashamed to go to the church, but that fund is there for people that are destitute and living from a place of lack. But, yes, I've seen that in my lifetime.
Wow. Okay. Certainly. Thank you for sharing that with us. Let's go back here. Sir Ben, I want to bring you back in, and I want to ask you, do you think that God will hold us accountable if we don't do our part to really help others, to be our brother's keeper?
Yes, he will hold us accountable, because at the time of judgment, we're going to all stand as individuals, and he's going to ask, what is it that you did with the resources I gave you? What did you do with it? And he's going to show us all the examples of when we could have helped someone and we chose not to for whatever reason. And we will have to be like the poor, the rich young ruler. We're going to have to hold our heads down and walk away. So I don't want to think that and present God as this mean old judgmental God that wants to just strike us all down. No, he loves us, but he consistently and over and over and over tries to get us to be and operate in the love of Christ within our heart. If Jesus is in our heart and Christ lives in us, then what we do is a result of love out of our hearts. There's been times where I help people and it just seemed like they thought they were getting over on me. And all the time I was thanking God for the fact that I could help them. And in the end, it didn't really matter because God gave me the strength, the ability to be able to help somebody in spite of what they were trying to do. And later on in life, those same people came back and greatly blessed me. So we can always look at each situation as, oh, well, they got over on me. No. See, God has a plan greater than our plan. We have a very short vision. God sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. So just stay in love, stay in peace. Don't worry about the things of this world, and just do what God puts on your heart to do. You will always see it come back.
All right. Just before we got about 3 minutes to go before we close, before Mr. Risa closes us out tonight, Lacey, let me begin with you. What, if anything, would you want God to do for you to enrich your life coming into the new year? What, if anything, would you want God to enrich your life this year?
That's a good question. I never thought about it. But if I could say anything, just to continue on and keep me healthy, because, you know, you got COVID-19 out here and a new strain out here. If that COVID-19 did not touch me the first two times, I pray it doesn't touch me in with this new one or any other COVID-19 in the future or any other pandemic or diseases and things in the future.
So no weapons formed against you prosper.
Yeah, prosper.
Right? Right, right. So if I were to ask that question of myself, what, if anything, would I want God to do for me to enrich my life now and for the coming future? It would be that my prayer would be that he would put me in a position that I can help people, you know, financially, as well as being able to offer through the traits and skills that he has provided me with to be a blessing to others. That would be it. It would be to be in a position financially to help so many people through this mission, this broadcast, that is record numbers next year, and also to be able to provide the resources through educational channels that he has provided me with the talents to do. So, Ms. Joyce, we go to you now and ask you that same question. What, if anything, before we close out, would you want God to do to enrich your lifestyle?
I would ask him, and I do daily, to keep me healthy, and so that I can be a blessing to others when they need it. So that's what I would ask, to keep my life enriched by keeping me healthy.
Amen, amen. That's part of my request as well, healthy in the lifestyle. Let's go to Sir Ben. Sir Ben, what, if anything, would you want God to do to enrich your lifestyle?
To increase my closer walk with him, because I understand the closer I am to God, the greater my ability to be able to touch those who are close and near me. Everything about them will increase and be enriched. And so that's what I want to do. I want to have the Christ in me be manifested in all those around me and those who are part of my groups and circles, and so that their lives can be enriched too.
All right. Lady Lynn, what, if anything, would you want God to enrich your lifestyle with?
To draw me closer to him as well, because like Sir Ben just said, if he draws me closer to him, I can help. I can be a blessing to others by drawing them closer to him as well.
All right, and certainly before we close out, I do want to say we send condolences out to Sister Marjorie. She lost her sister a couple of days ago, and we certainly keep that family in prayer. She's one of our sponsors, and we certainly keep her family in prayer. And Sister Marjorie, we know that you tune in to every show, and we will be communicating with you even more this evening after this broadcast ends. So we're getting ready now for Ms. Teresa to close us out, and we ask you that question. in your closing, what, if anything, would you want God to enrich in your lifestyle as you close us out?
Just to give me a closer, deeper walk with him. And just in closing, my prayer every morning is, Lord, take me to be wholly thine. Use me today in thy service. And let all of my works be wrought in you. So as I surrender, and we all surrender ourselves to the mighty power of God, he will use us in that day, whatever we need him to do with us. We have to surrender, and that in that he enriches our lives. And I just want to say this last note, that true obedience to God and his word is the highest form of worship. And let's keep that in mind. God bless everybody, and thank you so much for tonight.
All right. Amen to that. Listen, well, I want to thank all of you all for taking time out of your broadcast and any of the shows that you come on. Please join us here tomorrow morning from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m. for our Miracle Prayer Day. If you're standing in the need of a miracle, whatever that is, please join us tomorrow morning, 6:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And we have prayer warriors, and we have testimonies, we have praise reports. You will want to tune in. Our guest speaker for the hour will be Brother James Johnson, who will be joining us. And tomorrow's theme, Miracle Prayer Day, but the theme will be God is all you need now, and God is all you need in the end. You don't want to miss tomorrow's program. But, of course, if you bypass tomorrow's program, because there's no pressure ever on any of these shows, please join us back here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. And if you choose to miss that, join us back here for your one-hour inspirational program next Friday. Until tomorrow or until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night,
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Great show. God bless you all, and thank you all. Have a good
thank
night.
Thank you, Sister Marjorie.
Bye.
Good night. Thank you, Brother
You're
Ben.
You're welcome. Thank you. God bless you all. Thank you. Love you all. Bye.